song. Couldn't help but think of an analogy from Wednesday night in Brother Jonathan's message. And amen. They were talking about a field of grace. And I was thinking about when we stepped down the altar, Brother Ken, stepping on all those Kleenexes. And as we began to pick up one out of that field of grace. Lord, Lord, what a God that we are allowed to serve. What a God that would trust me to stand behind this pulpit tonight. What a God that would trust me with a word from heaven. Lord of mercy, to help His people. I sure do thank You, Brother Ken. I thank the good Lord. No doubt in my mind tonight's no accident. Of course, I don't think anything is. Amen. Definitely not tonight. I feel God on the Word of God tonight. And if you'd stand with me tonight, we'll read the Word of God. And if you'll turn to Psalm 40, I'll read four verses here. I've got a message and I've got 2 points. Don't all y'all shout at the same time. Last time I preached this, I only got through one, Brother Ken. I'm going to go ahead and apologize to my children. Brother Jason, they've already heard this message, but I guess outside of Jesus saves, I'd want my kids to get this more than anything I've ever preached, Brother Ken. So, what a message the Lord's given me. Psalm 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man, that's that man I want to be, that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. You may be seated tonight. Let's pray. Thank You, Heavenly Father, Lord, for Your precious Word, God, and I thank You for how You've spoken it to me, Lord. I pray, God, You'd help me tonight, Lord, that You tell me when to hush, God, when You're done with me, Lord. I pray, God, You'd give me an anointing from on high, God, that I might do Your Word justice tonight and I might be a blessing to Your people, Lord, and a help to my pastor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as I'll begin to read this Word right here, and I got to thinking about this message, and I can never think about it. Brother Monroe Wiggins told me something years ago when I first started preaching, Brother Ken, and I hadn't told this too many places I've went, but he told me, he said, son, said, you preach them into hell, but don't you leave that pulpit till you've shown them the way out. He said, son, you preach on sin, but don't you leave that pulpit until you've given them something that'd help them, amen. I thank God tonight that He's shown me and entrusted me with the Word in this book. I'm going to tell you something. I have no idea if I'll preach 5 minutes or 45 minutes, but there's something in here that's proven, God's proven Himself to me, Brother Ken, that really works to help you in your life. Now, we begin to look at this thought right here tonight, and this is where my thought really comes from right here in verse number 4. It said, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Now I'm going to do a little bit of Sunday school first to give you a little thoughts here from the Word of God. First of all, I looked up this word trust, and it comes from the Hebrew word midtag. Now this word right here means confidence. It means sure and firm hope. It means security. And it means, one definition even said this, it said being too secure. Being too secure. So I was really interested in this word trust right here. And then I did a real deep study of this word maketh, Brother Kim. I looked it up everywhere I could possibly look it up. And I come up with a thought that'll just blow your mind. This word maketh means maketh. That's the only thing I could come up with tonight. I wanted to make sure of this because this word's a key word in this verse tonight. And you know, this word maketh, it says, blessed is that man, that's what I want to be, that maketh the Lord his trust. And I begin to study, Brother Ken, you know, I've heard the word faith all my life and I've heard the word trust all my life and I used to think they meant the exact same thing, but yet they don't. They're kind of in the same form, and I guess to give an analogy of it, I can't help but think about how water is. You know, I think about it in class. They told us about the pond that freezes over the ice, and then it snows on it, and then there's three different forms. And of course, that's a good analogy of the Holy Ghost, God the Son, the Holy Ghost. But there's two forms of this thing: trust and faith. First of all, I want you to understand tonight that faith is something that God gives you. You don't earn it. You don't merit it. You don't try to get it. Some people's trying to get it, but I got news for them. They're not going to get anywhere. There's a lot of folks trying to find God, and they just need to sit down and wait for God to find them. Now, when I got saved, and if you're saved tonight, you got saved because God put faith in your heart. God gave you the will to accept Him. God didn't trust. He put faith inside of you, or you'd never know what to believe. You say, I know a lot of folks say, well, why do folks believe that Buddha's going to get them to heaven? I've had folks say, how come the Jehovah Witness ain't going to heaven? And Brother Kennell asked me all kinds of things, and the only thing I know to say is that God had not planted that seed of faith in them. So I want you to understand that faith, you getting saved, had nothing to do with your abilities tonight. It was nothing to do with your works. You had nothing to do. It was of the grace of God that you saved. God gave you the faith to believe. He imputed you righteousness. I'm going to heaven because God justified me. Because He imputed righteousness, Brother Mike. He made me one of His beloved. He gave it to me, Brother Tim. But I found something here tonight that you can do for yourself. And I've got something tonight that God has turned my life upside down, Brother Ken. I guess about the last 9 months of my life, God has flipped my life over with this very thought and this very message tonight. God's changed my life. I don't know that hardly anybody might hear, might not get it, but I'm here to tell you tonight, this is something that'll work tonight. If you'll make God your trust. Making God your trust. Now, like I said a while ago, two things if I get them done and we're going to be done. Now, this ain't going to preach in 15 minutes, I really don't believe. But point number one is in the form of a question. Can you trust God? Can you trust God? First of all, I want to ask you this. I'll break this down in three little mini thoughts, whatever you want to call it, in my little outline. I'd like to say tonight that I've outlined this message, but it is a message from God. Now tonight, first of all, do you trust His supply? Do you trust His supply? Has He not proven Himself to you? I want to ask you this tonight. You know, I'm not going to preach on tithe. Let me just turn. Are we on God's time tonight? You know, Brother Ken, I got to where it's hard for me to preach for worrying about time. I know people are so time conscious now, and I understand that. I don't need to sit up here and just babble on about things I've got in my mind, but I believe God's wanting to help somebody tonight. Malachi chapter number 3, I say, I'll go home tonight because I'm off tomorrow, and I'll probably look some good movie to watch, and it'll take about 2 hours and won't do me a bit of good, Brother Ken. That didn't cost you no extra right there. I just thought I'd give you a thought. Thought it might go down just a little bit easier for you tonight. First of all, Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." I thank God He ain't changed. We change. That's all things change. God's still the same. God's still parting Red Seas, Brother Ken. He'll still part your Red Sea tonight. He's waiting on you to prove Him. Listen to this. "Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from mine ordinances." Well, "and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." Boy, ain't that a great promise? God ain't went nowhere. Some of y'all sitting around wondering where God's went. He ain't went nowhere. Where you went? He went if you come back. He's went if you come back where you once were with Him. Lord have mercy. What a word in the Word of God. Word of God help you. It didn't even help the ignorant man like me. Woo, return to me and I'll return you, saith the Lord's host. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And I'm not going to preach on that tonight. But I will want to put this together. Notice that little word "and." It says tithes and offerings. A lot of people think if they just give a tenth, they've done God a favor. You're still robbing God if you only give a tenth, huh? I don't mean to be mean and bold and ugly, and I know I done busted some of his little bubble. You done worked up to a tenth, and you done think you done got somewhere. God said he robbed, you robbed him through tithes and offerings. Wait a minute, Brother Dennis, here you go preaching on me. I ain't the pastor here. I don't draw a paycheck here. I'm just telling you tonight to help you, not help. God don't need your money tonight. But if you want God to help you, and if you want to get this down tonight, you must learn this, that you rob God through tithes and offerings. And if you don't give like God says give, you're a robber. You're a God robber. That's pretty plain. I was going to be real helpful tonight, Brother Ken. Amen. Lord help me. You're cursed with a curse. I don't want to go there to y'all. Well, why ain't I ever seen this? You're cursed with a curse. Woo! Oh, I got it bad enough like it is. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse there that you may, there may be meat in mine house and prove me. That's the point I want to get to right there now. Wherein saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Lord God, what a promise! Wait, we all running shouting about that one little verse right there. Lord, y'all, does anybody beside me see that? As the brother said, can I get a witness tonight? Is anybody else here see what I just saw? That God's sitting up there with the windows of heaven. He's got his hands on it. And Brother Mike, he's saying, I want to pour you out a blessing, Brother Mike. Come on, Brother Mike, prove me. Brother David, prove me tonight. Prove me tonight. I want to bless you. Everybody think God's mean. Everybody thinks God's mean. Well, if I step wrong, God's going to, oh, he's going to knock me down. If I say one little word out of the way, Brother Ken, I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose my job. And, oh, I done heard the law, and the law's got me so bound up, and I'm just pitiful. Oh, help me, somebody release me from this agony. Let me go ahead and release you from this agony. It ain't about your efforts. It's about your obedience. Minding God. God done spoke somebody's heart here tonight. I believe that with all of my heart. He's wanting to do that for us. He's wanting to open up the windows of heaven and bless you. He said, oh, Brother Dennis, you done got turned up TV evangelist, ain't you? Give and you'll get a new Cadillac. I didn't hear what I said. Matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you. When I saw that window of heaven open it up, I didn't think nothing about money. I didn't think nothing about gold. I didn't think about new cars. I didn't think about a new house. I didn't think about a condo on the beach, folks. I was thinking about blessings a whole lot bigger than that stuff right there. Amen. Hey, I was talking about like last Sunday morning, glory to God. Woo, I know I ain't supposed to be preaching about past blessings, but good Lord have mercy. What a meeting. I don't know if y'all got that. Now I like to run and shout with the best of them, but let me tell you something about this run and shout and shallow stuff. Anybody can shout. When some of y'all gonna start? My wife feels inferior to me, Brother Kim, because I'm so loud and I'm so vocal, and the Holy Ghost gets over and gooses me. I'll jump up and say glory to God. That's shallow stuff. But son, when you get in a meeting, and boy, God breaks your heart. Brother Randy was talking about this morning, and God, the tears begin to flow, boy. Boy, when you get rid of worshiping God, that's when you feel like that old prostitute, Brother Randy was. That's me right there. Get down at his feet and squall all over his feet. Yeah, I shed enough tears last Sunday morning to wash somebody's feet. Sure I did. That's worship, folk. That's worship. That ain't that shallow stuff. That's that stuff you don't get there often. And most of us won't never get there because we got so much pride we can't get there. Glory to God. I'm talking about pour you out a blessing. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to me just to open up the Word of God. And to know that there's something living inside of me, Brother Ken, that'll draw a great truth out of it, that'll help me along life's way. Lord, my mouth's dry. You say, won't you calm down a little bit? Because God didn't call me that way. I'm not even going to feel bad about it. Lord, in mercy, look here. Listen, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. How about that? I ain't even seen that before. For your sakes. Brother Tim, you take this. I'm going to say it. God don't even need your tithe from that post office. nor your offerings that go above that tent. You see, God didn't put that in there for His sakes. He owns it all already. Brother Tim, He did it for your sake. Woo! He did it for you. Because you know what? He said, I'm going to show Brother Tim because I'm going to open up a windows of heaven. Woo! I'm going to pour Him out a blessing. I don't see you get tore up over here doing all this stuff right here. Oh, glory to God. That's my choir director right there. Hallelujah. For a Holy Ghost filled choir director. Whew. For your sake. I may not even get to the point. If we don't, we'll just go home and I'll go to Brewster's tonight and get me an ice cream since I ain't got to work tomorrow. It don't close till 10. Takes about 15 minutes to get there, so we got to about 9:40, Brother Ken. Amen! Amen! Boy, if you can shout about that, you can shout. Amen! Listen, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Lord have mercy. And He'll shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit forth before its time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. I believe that's a picture of where the United States was. And I guess it's still in our money. I've heard rumors about them taking it off. We put in God we trust. And our forefathers evidently had read some scripture, and some of them must have been saved. Because they said that people's going to fall in love with this stuff. Not a whole lot of amens in that. Maybe some old me's. They said they'll fall in love with this stuff, so we're going to put down in God we trust. We're not going to trust in this dollar. We're not going to trust in our gold reserve. Has anybody ever heard, have they still got gold in that? Are they about done used it up? Have they just about given out with free programs? It's probably about gone. You see, so all y'all that trusted in God, I wish they'd put it on TV and show that empty room. It used to be slap full of gold. Then maybe you'd go trust in the Lord instead of in money. God help us tonight. Listen to this. Has He not proven yourself in your money? Has God never come through with you in a time of financial need? Stop and think. First of all, let's go back to the question that I asked you. Point one, can you trust God? Some of you may say, well, I ain't got no money worries. I've never had any money worries. Well, good for you. Bless your heart. If you got so much put up, why ain't we put more in that missions right there? I could go over and read that where it says, lay not. Where it says, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth. It says, lay not. It don't say, lay up. I'm going to make all y'all mad at me. This may be my last time here, but it'll be okay. What is a retirement plan? What is a retirement plan? Yo, brother, this preaching, I don't have no retirement plan. I ain't listening to him. Next time, Brother Ken, that's why Brother Ken probably didn't announce it. Next time Brother Ken announced, I ain't coming because I got me a big old 401k. I got news for you. If you go tonight, you ain't going to care a damn about it, will you? I don't know what happens to him. You know what? If you ain't got it rolled out just right, it'll go to the state and then Obama will spend it. You got more than you ever gonna need. Won't you be a blessing with it? Won't you get this? Have you ever trusted God with your money? And some of you, I know this is probably the worst financial situation that anybody in our lifetimes ever heard, because I think all the people that was in the Great Depression are nearly gone, right? Or they almost gone. Maybe they were little children, dear, and it's hard for them to remember it. But probably this is the worst time we've ever seen. And I ain't bad-mouthing God. I'm going to get there in a minute, too. No, Chuck Garza said, well, bless Brother Diggs. He done got on that old pitiful murmuring, preaching about how bad things are. No, we got it better than we've ever had it. As a matter of fact, when you think God's the worst to you, He's probably been the best to you. Oh, best thing that could happen with us is for these Muslims to break out and bomb about 4 or 5 stadiums tonight. Brother Ken, we'd have to get every construction. Hope we got a bunch of construction people in the church house, because we're gonna have to go yonder way about 400 feet if that were to happen.
Because people will do just like they did when those planes hit. And I might be belittling this. Y'all may think I'm making fun of this, but I'm going to tell you something. God could have stopped them planes. Just like God could have turned that hurricane that time, they was all griping about it. And people down there that were suffering, getting on the news channel and taking His name in vain. God, yes, God did allow that to happen. Well, y'all think that's me if you want to, but I serve a sovereign God tonight. We need, do you really trust Him with your money? Have you trusted? Some of you's probably having financial trouble, but have you really trusted God with it? Or have you gotten to the point where you can't even worship God for worry about how you're going to pay that next bill? Is He not a God that owns a cattle of 1,000 hills? Can He not take care of your bills? Can He not find you a job after you've lost it? You know what He's wanting to do? He's sitting up there, well, I just wish you'd prove me and trust me. I'll supply you every need if you just trust me with it. Why would God want to bless a people that won't trust Him? Lord, have you trusted Him with your money? What about your marriage? What about your marriage? So many people today, Brother Ken, throwing up their hands and quitting on marriage. And you know, I've been blessed to be able to counsel with a few couples, Brother Ken, and God's given me some wisdom and some thoughts on this that really be a help and a blessing. You know, think about this now. We serve a God in heaven that's got power over everything. You know what most of you will do? You'll go to work and you'll ask the most ungodly person that you can find to give you advice on your home. You ladies, you know what you'll do? You'll go to that gal that's... I don't want to say that. You'll find some Jezebel to ask what you need to do about your home because it ain't right. And I know what, I'm not stupid enough to think tonight that every marriage in here is healthy tonight. Matter of fact, I'd say it's probably, we'd be doing real well if 50% was healthy tonight. 50% of marriages. What do? You just throw up? You just quit? Do you just give up? And some of you men are so materialistic, and I realize that we're made that way. Men see things physical. We're drawn by appearance. We're drawn by smell. We're drawn by touch. Everything is physical about us, Brother Ken. And I realize that, but some of you are too materialistic. You look on the outside. Some of you got in trouble and married the wrong one because you looked at the box. I hate going to the grocery store. You know what I do? I look at how many ounces is in it. They'll get a box that big and that wide. Beautiful, right? It's all over. You done heard the little thing on TV going. And it's got about 5 ounces of material in it. And those 5 ounces got about 95 grams of fat. Healthy choice. 95 grams of fat. Carbs. And then you get married and find out what she or he's really like and you fall apart because you looked at the box. You should have flipped over and read the ingredients. You should have opened up and seen what was on the inside. You see a lot, especially you young boys, you get in trouble because you'll see a pretty little old thing and that's all you're going to see is a pretty little old thing. You better get on your knees. You in danger tonight. You better get on your knees and you better pray unto God. You better trust God when you're married before it ever gets to that point. You young people tonight, if I could give you any advice that I wish to stick with you tonight, is I wish you trust God with whom you're supposed to be married to. You that are married tonight, wish you could learn to trust God with your problems in your marriage. Instead of reading all these books and cosmopolitans and good housekeepings and, oh, but they said this and, oh, I seen this on a Lifetime movie and it worked real good. I want to say this on the men's side. I'm a man, I know this. It works. Young men, older men, woman changes with age. Zach, don't mean to, I'm going to be truthful with you, son, because I want you to do right. She's going to change that she has that baby. She's probably not going to never look as good physically if you're judging her by inches, curves, and all that as she did before she had that baby. And Brother Ken, we do need, they need to look good to us. Like I said before I go, you know, that God made us that way. He made us men that way. Our woman needs to look good to us. Any man, y'all got a Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Boy, I've seen some men make some ugly statements about their wives. You know how I am. I love to go back right back at them when they do that. I said, son, have you looked in the mirror lately? You bald-headed, pot-gutted. Afro's growing out of ears. Out of your nose. My ear hairs grow faster than my head hairs do. I'm telling it right, ain't I? In other words, you a whole lot uglier than she is. But we still need that, Brother Kim. But I serve a God in heaven that I can trust with it. Okay, hey, I told my kids this. They heard me preach this. And I'm going to say it again. And I'm going to shock some of you. I've been married to Vicki Jean, been 19 years in January. And Brother Ken, I ain't always been in love with her during those 19 years. Let me get time for that to soak in. I'm going to say it again for you young people. I've not always been in love with her those 19 years. You see, when I married her, I made a commitment. I made a commitment before God. Actually, I really made it to Him more than I did to her. That I'd love her irregardless of what happens. I fell out of love. I don't even want to know, but I'm sure she's... look at me, she's had to. Brother Ken, she's had to fall out of love with me, brother. You see, you read all these romance novels, and you look at all these Lifetime movies, young girls, and you read all these fairy tales, and you watch a movie where he drives up in the... That's a pretty woman, that car with a rose in his mouth, and climbs up, and he's always scared of heights, and delivers down, and you go, oh! That's the way I want it to be with me. Ain't gonna be like that, I'm sorry. I'm gonna go ahead and bust your bubble now. I'd rather bust it now where when it happens you say, well, I heard somebody preach that one time. I ain't gonna fall apart because you know what the devil's gonna do? He's gonna say, you need to give up. It ain't like it was in Pretty Woman. But it could be if you look at that fella right over yonder. You see, look how he's doing. And look how she's got it made. And look over here and look over. You see, he wants to bust your marriage up. And I'm going to fight him tonight with everything I know how. But let me get back to the falling out of love with Vicki Jean. What did you do, Brother Dennis? I trusted God. I got on my face before God, Brother Ken. And I said, Lord, I don't feel like I ought to about her, Lord. And boy, y'all really going to throw rocks at me when I say this. Lord, the devil's even had me looking at other women. You know, Jesus, my Bible hero is David. Everybody said, why are you picking an adulterer? Jesus said, all y'all's adulterers. Because if y'all red-blooded, you've looked at women and lusted after them. Read your Bible. Amen. And I said, God, you got to give me back what I once had. Lord, make her look more beautiful to me than any other woman in this world. God answers prayers. Brittany, what was that wedding? Vicki said Brittany just could not believe how crazy I was about Vicki that day. She was all dressed up. And I was about ready to go on a honeymoon myself. I was. She was beautiful. She says, well, you're the only one that sees me that way. Well, what else matters? Before you give up and take the world's advice, why don't you trust God with your marriage? Before you give up on your munchkins, your children, why don't you trust God with them? Well, kids just done went bad. Lord, I'm looking around here tonight and I see people, this kids ain't church no more. And you think, well, I'll just give up. Right. Throw in a towel. Pat about it. Won't you just trust God with it? God got you here pretty faithful, didn't he? Well, we could go out there and carry them some bologna sandwiches and knock on the door about 3 times a week and beg them to come back, Brother Ken. Or we could just trust God with it. Our God's bigger than that. Won't you trust God? Some of y'all shelter your children. And I know how that is. Lord, God, I know how that is. I raised 5 of them. You shelter them. You protect them. Oh, you try to isolate them from everything in this world. You steer them and you guide them. And you steer them and I ain't going to let them go to the ball game. I'm not going to let them go do this. And I'm not going to let them go do that. You got a ticking time bomb. I ain't going to tell you how to raise your kids, but you got a ticking time bomb, parents. Be careful. You better trust God with them. I'm going to tell you something. God can be there when you can't. Trust God. Lord of mercy. Yeah, I can see part one's going to be about it tonight. You trust His supply. You see, He's got marriage counseling the side of this world. He's got marriage counselors this side of this world. Why don't you want to ask the world's advice? Think about it. What about money? God owns. You're talking about Fort Knox. Lord of mercy, He owns it all. What about with your munchkins? Do you trust His sovereignty? His security? First of all, I want to say, do you trust His sovereignty? I'm going to read one verse of Scripture that I've wrote down. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Great verse of Scripture. And I want to turn and turn and read one more verse of Scripture over here in 2 Timothy. I think it's a good picture to me of God's sovereignty. It's a blessing to me. It may not be to some of you, but it really does help me to know this. Over here in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and right here in verse number 9, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, it says, who had saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. I love that part, Brother Ken. Woo! Praise God. But according to His own purpose and grace. Lord, there's them handkerchiefs again. Every time I read the Bible, I see handkerchiefs all over the place. Lord of mercy. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. How about that? Oh, I can't explain that. Not going to begin to even think, but I know it's true because it's in there. Amen. Hey, I tell you what. Can you trust God's sovereignty? I can trust Him enough to know that if He saw me saved before the foundations of this earth, I ain't a worried about what happens to me when I lay my head down tonight. And I can back this thing all the way up, Brother Ken. If I can trust Him with my eternity, I can trust Him with my children, I can trust Him with my marriage, and I can trust Him with my money, that's about the least thing I can worry about tonight. I'm trying to get you to put your trust in the Lord tonight. I'm trying to tell you that it does work and it can happen. And I don't want to preach you my weakness tonight. I want to preach you the Word of God tonight. Lord, help us tonight. We serve a sovereign God tonight. You trust His sovereignty. What about His security? Well, I want to turn and read. I ain't got time. I'll preach 2 hours. Psalm 46. Read it sometimes. Write that down. Read it sometimes. When it gets scary, we have a refuge, folks. Woo! We have reassurance and He is reliable tonight. Can I tell you that we do have a refuge with God? I do trust His security tonight. And Lord God, there's times I go away from home now, there ain't no youngins at home with Vicky. And she's there by herself and sometimes she gets scared. And I say, well, honey, you just got to trust in God. And I'm going to tell you something. Something come in on you. He may shoot me. He may knock me down. He may lay me slop out. But there's a God in heaven that can and will protect you. We got to put a trust in Him. We got to realize that He is the great I Am. He's the beginning and the end, folks. He owns it all. He's in charge of it all tonight. We can trust Him. Lord, help us tonight. Do you trust His sovereignty? I am going to get to point 2. I rushed through them 2 little mini points. Amen. Let me tell you first of all the secret to trusting God before I go to point number 2. It's Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. Two things you got to do. First of all, you got to trust Him with all. Oh, Lord. You notice I read that first verse. Did anybody notice that word said maketh? Anytime that end in the ETH, it's an ongoing process. It's never ending. You're not just going to say, getting off, say, well, God, I want to make you my trust. Glory to God, my problem is over with. It's maketh. It's over and over. It means you trust Him in this problem, then you trust Him with this situation, then you trust Him with this situation. And before long, He begins to open up the windows of heaven on you and pour you out a blessing. And you've been saying, it just pays not only to serve God, it pays to trust God. Amen. Listen to this. This right here, now y'all going, I may not ever get to come here again. I wrote this down. This is my quote. I didn't get it out of a book. Worrying is telling God you don't trust Him in His supply, His security, and His sovereignty. You know, I preached it before, but you know, I realized, Brother Ken, I've been preaching my weaknesses instead of the Word of God. The Word of God says we can trust in God. The Word of God said He is trustworthy. The Word of God said He's able to supply all of our need according to His riches and glory. If I'm going to get up here and tell you, say, well, I got to go ahead and tell you I worry. I got to go ahead and tell you that I'm a man that's got anger. I got to go ahead and tell you that sometimes I'm a man with unclean lips. I got to go ahead and tell you I do this and I do that and I worry about every problem in my life. So what good is it going to do me to tell you about the Word of God? God help us preachers to quit preaching our weaknesses and go to preaching the Word of God. The Bible says that He can be trusted. He can be trusted. It is possible. All things are possible to God tonight. Alright, point two. That's close. This will be a fast one. Point two says, can God trust you? You see, I found out in my life that I went through some things in my life was because God did bless me, Brother Ken. Now, He's proven to me that He can be trusted. But, Sister Renee, I proved to Him that I couldn't be trusted. Think back on your life. Some of you have been saved for a long time. Think back a while. God entrusted you with something, and what'd you do with it? Listen to this. Have you proven yourself to be trusted? Can you be trusted? Can you be trusted with the Spirit, first of all? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. Period. 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 We show Spirit different ways. Vicky shouts with tears. I used to couldn't understand why she wasn't on a little monkey flip, Brother Ken, walking benches. And you know, Brother Ken, when I couldn't understand it, she's feeling it. And she feels inferior to me because she thinks she hadn't arrived. When actually what's happened, Brother Ken, is she's got more of it than what I got. Can you be trusted with the Spirit? How many times He filled you with worship and praise? And you said, I won't ever forget the first time God put a shout in me. And I like to suffocate it. It's when Gerald walked out and got saved. I seen him come in. I've been praying for him. Lord, I'd wet my pillow many a night for him. I got saved younger than what he did, Brother Ken. And I was sitting up in the choir, and Eric came walking in. Lord, I bowed my head right there, and I began to pray, and I began to weep. And he was sitting back about three-fourths of the way back. I come down and sit about halfway back. Y'all probably think I'm about half charismatic anyway, so that'd be all right. Don't really matter, little Brother Ken. Be all right. We sitting back there, and the altar call came. I felt something brush over my shoulder. The Holy Ghost flooded my soul and said, He's coming. I turned and there he come up aisle. And I said, probably a demon, Brother David. Don't you imagine? Probably what it was. How many times God flooded you? You just quenched it and just... Devil jumped up there and said, hey, y'all probably think, Brother Dills don't have no problem jumping up, testifying, running, shout. Last Sunday, God flooded my soul, Brother Ken, and I got up and testified. If I'd had me a jigsaw, I'd have cut me a hole and slid out through the basement. Devil said, you idiot. You're too strong for them people. You're hurting your pastor. You go and everybody's looking at you. You're doing it for show. Everybody thinks you just for show. Why don't you just calm down, sit down, and leave it alone? I want honest to goodness answers tonight, okay? Honest. Everybody that's heard something similar to that when God put a worship or a shout or testimony on your heart, raise your hand. Now I want everybody to look around. Now, hold them up. Everybody stand up now. Turn around and look. Hold your hand up. Turn around and look at all them hands. Now sit back down. Don't show your hands on this one. How many of y'all been a long time since God flooded your heart like that again? You see, you prove yourself to Him. I can't trust Him. Brother Ken, I know now, when I'm full of God, I can say it. You know why God puts it on me to stand up and praise Him? Because He knows He can trust me with it. Because I'm going to give Him the glory. No, I ain't done yet. Whew. Can God trust you? When's the last time He filled your heart with a testimony? What about a I'm sorry? When's the last time He told you, just busted your pride real good and said, you get up and go tell that brother or sister you're sorry? What about the last time a brother or sister done you wrong and God said, you go get them and tell them you're sorry? Well, no, I ain't about to do that, glory. I rest my case. You might as well leave. The rest of the message just ain't even for you. I'm just being honest. You got to learn how to mind God. You see, the more God sees you going to be trusted with it, the more He's going to give you. I believe some men that used to preach with the power of God on them, God can't trust them to do it no more. Because, Brother Ken, well, look what they done with it. Begin to think it was all about them. Well, they've done something. They've accomplished something. And I thank God we've got a pastor that don't mind somebody else gets up and preaches and helps his people. I'm glad he's particular about who fills this pulpit. That's wonderful. But he also don't mind if somebody comes in and preaches the house down and his people gets tore up. Because he knows it ain't all about him. Thank God for that. When's the last time He gave you a song? Some of y'all used to sing in the choir, Brother Tim. I ain't looking up. I almost quit. Preached away for a long time and Dick didn't come on Sunday nights, couldn't. I said, well, Brother Dennis, you're not faithful to the choir pastor. Why don't you just sit down? Don't sing the choir anymore. That's the devil. Why, are you a good singer, Brother Dennis? No, I ain't. But I catch Brother Tim looking at me a lot of times, and I'll smile or I'll throw up a hand. I'll see him get fired up. I'm just up there cheerleading Brother Tim. All y'all men sitting next to me know I'm not a singer. Brother Tim, the sooner you take that song out of that book, the better I feel about singing in that choir, by the way. I've always wanted to say that from a pulpit. Glory to God. What about giving? Woo. Huh. God gave you a shout. I mean a genuine, heartfelt, appreciate you for saving me, Holy Ghost shout. You suffocated yourself and you held it back and now you wonder why you can't shout. Wow. It's your choice. You can walk in the Spirit. You can be full of the Spirit. God once filled you and you proved you couldn't be trusted with it. What about substance? Can God trust you with substance? I'm going to throw another word in there with an S. What about success? Substance and success kind of go hand in hand, don't they? I grew up with a boy. He's dead and gone now. I won't call his name, but Brother Kenny never did have much. Didn't even have much of a raising. He was poverty level when he was in school. He became successful. And you couldn't be around him about him bragging about how much money he had in the bank. Used to be just a good old boy. I mean, just godly little old boy. And then just everything just changed him. You know, and a lot of times when I'm studying about this, I think about him. His face comes to my eyes and in my mind. Often, let me read this. Often treasure is an affliction, and often affliction is a treasure. See, we got it backwards. See, the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Luke 12:21 says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself. I'm going to make sure I throw that in there. See, I'm going to show y'all that it ain't wrong for you to have a little something, okay? But he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. He that layeth up treasure for himself. Y'all take this any way you want. This is the way I take it. If I got some extra, it ain't for myself. I want to be rich toward God, Brother Adam. I've got some extra as a missionary or family or something coming up hurting, I want to find a way to give it to them. I'm not laying it up for myself. When some of y'all going to quit laying it up for yourself? If you're a child of God, let me tell you something. You keep laying it up, looking at it, and beholding it, and checking on it, and reading your balance card out, and seeing how much you've made, and how much you've earned, how much you got, and then you just go into a state of depression when the stock market goes down a little bit. Walk the house door. When you gonna realize that it really ain't even yours? Lay it up for yourself. Wouldn't it be a blessing if some of y'all would give away what you lost when the stock market went down? You say, well, God expect me to give away everything I got extra? If He asked you to, y'all would be willing to. Sure. Yeah, I better move on. How many times God wanted to use you as a channel of blessings and you shut Him off with your greed? Not a single amen. Can anybody say amen to that? I wrote down several things down here that God had me write down. What about when God blessed you with enough to give support to a missionary? And gonna bless you with a good old 2002 Chevrolet four-wheel drive truck with 78,000 road miles on it. God blessed you with that. And give you enough extra beside that to go gift a good missionary. But you know what you did? You went and bought you a brand new 2010 model with all the goodies. And now you're wondering why you can't pay for it. You wasn't happy living in that little single level house with bedrooms just big enough for them couple of kids. You had to have an 8,000 square foot mansion. Now power's done went up so high, and you wonder why your power bill's $500-$600 a month. It costs a lot of money to cool 7,000 square feet. And it's easy for me to preach on this, Buck, because I raised five kids in about 2,300 square feet. And ain't nothing wrong with you having that. That ain't what I'm saying. And now you can't pay for it, and you wonder why. Maybe we ought to go back a little bit. Wind it backwards. Did God tell me to do something else with that? Oh, Lord. I better hurry. I'm in trouble. Listen to this. Now you wonder why you couldn't be trusted with it. Now God's done cut you off because He saw you can't be trusted with it. You see, God wants you to give to see the blessing. I don't know if y'all even realize what's going on with this. Your pastor does. But I don't think none of y'all really, you going to, you don't really realize what God's done opened up this Macedonian missions for you. You have no idea what God, He's doing you a big old blessing, a big old gigantic blessing. Because some of you is going to be giving over your tithe for the first time. You're going to be giving over what you put in the plate on Sunday for the first time in your life. And you're fixing to see a whole new window of blessings opened up. God's done you a favor. He's done you a big old giant favor. And I dare you. If you cannot give God, I'll go ahead and tell you that. That's a fact. If you put that money in there for 6 straight months and you ain't missed it, I dare you to double it. Oh, you're doing that money preach again. No. Do y'all not remember God don't need your money? Brother Ken don't need your money. God take care of him. He's preaching the word of God, the truth and spirit. God's going to take care of that man. He don't need your rusty money. But God wants to do you a favor by you giving it. I dare you to double it. I dare you. Listen to this. Let's don't forget this scripture, okay? Proverbs 28:27 says, "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." Some of us don't have no problem with church giving. Some of y'all actually elevate yourself above that. Matter of fact, Brother Ken, I'm getting somewhere with this now, brother. Trust me, okay? Probably 90% of the people in here has absolutely no problem what the church does with the money that goes in and goes out. I'm like you, Brother David. I didn't hear what... I'm sorry, Brother Man. I may not be paying attention to you. It just don't bother me. I couldn't tell you... If you told me you'd give me $1 million, if I could remember one figure he said at night, I promise you I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Some of y'all gotten to that point. But when it comes to doing this, after you've already, and then you dig in there in that little hole. I got a zipper about here. It's empty though. It really is, brother. There it is. See? Y'all my witness. And then when the Lord says, "What about that little couple that just lost their job? Lord, that's my hunting lease money. That's my season. Let me get down where some of us live. That's my season ticket money. I've been saving for 9 months for that." What about that little couple that's lost their job and somebody done told you they're having a hard time making their ends meet? Whew. That's when it kills you. "Well, bless God, I give my 10% to the church. I work hard for this." Is that right? Good for you. You ought to work hard. Matter of fact, God demands it. Let that soak while I'm finishing. You said, "Brother Dennis, you ain't preaching much." I believe God's sowing. What about the last time can God trust you with suffering? With suffering. 1 Peter chapter number 4. It's the last place I'll turn, I promise you. Verse number 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice," that means be happy, "insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may all be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit and the glory of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." Verse number 17 says, "For the time has come that the judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel of Christ? Wherefore," verse number 19 says, "wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls in Him well doing unto a faithful Creator." When's the last time you suffered for the cause of Christ? When's the last time God trusted you to suffer and make you better, and you made it all about you? Somebody come pity me, please. I'm suffering. Can't y'all see I'm suffering? I said this one time, and I ain't making fun of this, because the Lord knows there are going to be times I sure hope somebody comes and prays for me. Brother Ken, you've seen them before. Me, I'm suffering. Come here. There's time for that, Brother Ken. Times I need it, and I have to have it. What did you do the last time you suffered for the cause of Christ? How did you take it? Did you take it patiently? Did you take it as happy are you because of your reproach for the name of Christ? What about the suffering? I want to say this right here. You'll find the God of light in the dark times. You'll find the God of the mountain by spending time first in the valley. You'll find the God of peace by going through the storm. You'll shine for God when you go through the fire. For you to walk with God, you're going to have to spend time in the pit. Let me ask you this tonight. Can you trust God? And can God trust you? I'll tell you what I've just about determined, Brother Ken. I'll read this and I'm done. When I'm troubled, I'm going to let my troubles give God glory. When I'm sick, I'm going to let my sickness give God glory. And when I'm blessed, I'm going to let my blessings give God the glory. There's benefits in trusting God. It works, people. It really works. Look in.